Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for everything that you have done for this church over the past 35 years that we've been in Australia. Thank you for all these people here and all the people in the past who have helped our church in countless significant ways. And Lord, we pray that today we might remember your goodness to us and give thanks and praise to you for it. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it is always a delight for an older person to see a younger person grow up well. To see someone who is younger turn out okay, for them to grow in maturity. And I say this myself, putting me squarely in the old person category. This is something I am continuously reminded of. I will tell my kids about what dinosaurs were like, and they will say, well, you should know, Dad, you were there. But I'm happy to own that, because I have had the delight of seeing young people grow. I've seen it at this church. When I first came to this church about 14 years ago, it was pretty much just a bunch of high school and university students. Our main social events were 21st birthday parties. We were joking about being so poor that we could only afford to eat instant noodles. But over the course of the years, I've seen you grow up, get jobs, take on responsibility, move out, start your own families. You know, I feel like that doting parent who says they grow up so fast. It has been a delight for me to see the people of this church grow up well. And I want to say today, and I hope we all recognize, that this building that we are in is also part of our growth. It is part of our maturity. Right? Well, when a parent has a new baby and you take them in for the checkup, you want to know all sorts of measurements, all sorts of numbers. You want to know the head circumference, the weight, the length. You want all those indicators that your child is growing. Well, I want to say that quite possibly the building that we're in is one of the indicators that we have grown up well. It is evidence that we have grown in God's love for us, and it's evidence that we've grown in our love for others. And I think that is something that our church should celebrate today. And so first, as a church, we have grown in God's love for us. A big part of the Christian faith is this conviction that we are always loved by God, no matter what we have done or where we are. There is nothing that we can do to make God love us more, and there is nothing we can do to make God love us less. We are always loved by God. That never changes. But what does change is our appreciation of that love. And so in the Bible, Jesus tells the story of a son who demands his inheritance from his father in advance, the story that Eva just read for us. His father is not even dead yet, but he wants the inheritance now. He's basically saying to his father, look, I wish you were dead. I don't care about a relationship with you. I just want your stuff. And this is the kind of thing that we have all said to God. We like God's stuff. We just don't want the trouble of a relationship with God. We would rather that he was out of the picture. But throughout the story, what we see is that the father keeps on loving his son. He reluctantly gives him the share of the inheritance that he demands. When his son squanders all that money, wastes it on useless things, the father is still at home looking for his lost son, waiting for his son to return. And when his son does return, there's no lecture, there's no anger, there's no punishment. There is just joy. There's a party, because as the father said, this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And so the father's love for his son never changes. And just like that, God's love for us doesn't change either. Even when we turn away from God, God is not in heaven brooding and complaining about how terribly we have treated him. He is waiting patiently and lovingly for us to come back. And when we do come back to him, Jesus says there is joy in heaven, not just with God, but with the angels too. God's love for us doesn't change. But maybe like the younger son in this story, what does change is how much we appreciate God's love. I think many of us can relate to the younger son in this story. We've all gone through our rebellious phase with our own families. Sometimes I do know that there are some parents that are so neglectful, so terrible, that a child can't remember any good about what they did. But for most of us, I think certainly for me, as time passes and I have come out of that rebellious phase, I appreciate more and more what my parents have done. The sacrifices that they made for me, the risks that they took for me, even the rules and standards that they enforced on me. You don't appreciate it all the time, right? Even the Bible says this, right? No discipline at the time seems pleasant, but rather painful. But after a while, you do see the love in them. And Jesus says that is a journey that we take with God as well. That over time, we appreciate God's love more and more, even in the things that we don't think are particularly loving. And I thank God that I have seen many of you take that journey at Cross Life, still recognizing God's love even in the challenges and struggles of life, recognizing God's love even in things like illness or singleness or conflict, and even just turning up week after week because you can't get enough of hearing that God loves you. Right? Over the years we have heard and we have taken to heart more and more what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. We've all seen and praised God for his love for us in many different ways. We have grown in our appreciation of the love of God. But that's not all. Our appreciation of God's love hasn't just been theoretical or emotional. It hasn't just been for our benefit. We haven't been so heavenly minded that we're not of any earthly use, as is meant to happen. Growing in the love of God has also driven us to grow in our love for others. Jesus tells another story about a man on a road who was attacked by bandits and left for dead. There are two men who are both basically ministers of religion. They see him by the side of the road and they just pass on by, pretending not to notice him. The one who had compassion on him is not the person whose job it is to show compassion. It's the man who is his natural enemy. This is the Good Samaritan helping a Jew. And I don't think we often appreciate, right, how Samaritans and Jews normally thought of each other. Like that, they didn't like each other. They were kind of mortal enemies. When Jesus tells this story, this is like a Chinese helping a Taiwanese. This is like an Australian helping out a New Zealander. Or, please forgive me, maybe this is also like a builder helping out an architect. And the help that the Good Samaritan offers here is at great cost to himself. He binds the wounds of the fallen man. He gives his riding animal to him. He pays for his food and lodging while he recovers. It's like this guy says, "You have no money? Take mine. You have no car? Take mine. You have no hotel room? Take mine." And if this sounds a bit extreme, you've got to remember, this is the kind of love that Jesus showed to us when he died for us. Because Jesus looks at us and says, "You have no holiness? Take mine. You have no righteousness, take mine. You have no hope of heaven, take mine." This is what Jesus did when he died for us. He swapped our fallen life for his perfect life. And he died in our place to take the punishment we deserved. You know, the story of the Good Samaritan is a living picture of the love God shows to us. And it's also a picture of God's command to his people, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." It's a command, but it's also more than a command. It's also a prophecy, a promise, a prediction. You will love your neighbor as yourself. And again, I'm really thankful to God that this is a promise that has largely come true for our church. That people from this church have stepped up and shown this Samaritan-type love to people outside their usual circles. You know, most of us come from migrant families. No one would criticize us for just keeping to ourselves and looking after our own. That's what we're meant to do. But we know that God has love to spare. And that means we have love to spare. And our church has been generous in showing that love. In going far and wide to rural communities in New South Wales to stay with them, to share the good news about Jesus. in going to Muslim parts of city during Ramadan and talking about religion with people who want to talk about it. In sponsoring children in third world countries, giving them a chance at education and schooling and community. In including people with intellectual disabilities, the elderly, people who've spent time in prison who want a fresh start. Welcoming them into our church. And when they can't come to our church, going out to them. It has been a delight to see our church grow, not just in God's love for us, but also in our love for others. And believe it or not, our building is a part of this growth. This renovation is a small way in which we show we care about people outside our church. About 4 years ago, when we were first considering this, one of the big drives for us to go ahead was that God had blessed our church with so much. Previous generations had been super generous to us. Current members and even visitors had been super generous to us. And we wanted to use what we had to bless others rather than just hoard it for ourselves. And maybe that was God prompting us to do it. Because he certainly was working every step of the way. Right? I believe that God gave us the right people for our circumstance at exactly the right time. Andrew, Paul, and Noel, whose work we are extremely thankful for. Right? It might be going a little bit far to say that you guys are angels from God to us, right? But you are close, right? You are almost there. Getting the work done right before Christmas and just under budget, right? The hand of God was at work here. And our hope is that this building will be a part of our growth in loving others too. That it will help us to love more people better. The elderly, people who need a bit more accessibility, the hearing impaired, and also loving our local community. It would be great if our church was a place where others might be able to have a space to gather and meet together as well. It is a delight for an older person to see a younger person grow up well. But this is only the start. God isn't finished with us. When Paul writes to the Philippian church, he says that I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. I am confident that God will continue to grow his church. That is what is in our future, more and more growth in God's love. More and more growth in loving others. More and more becoming like our Lord Jesus. And so let me pray that that will happen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have blessed us with this building. Lord, this is not something that is guaranteed, and we recognize this, that this is a blessing that has come from previous generations to our church. It's not something that all churches have, and Lord, we do not take it lightly. We are grateful to you for your provision of us. And Lord, we thank you for providing all the right people who made the renovation happen. We thank you for the people who stepped up financially to support this project. We thank you for the vision and building committees who investigated the needs of our congregation and community. We thank you for the professionals who designed and managed and built the place. Thank you for all those involved who helped get this project done on time. And Lord, we pray for this building. We pray for the future of this building and for us, the people, that this may be an expression of our love for our community. Lord, we pray that this building may be a place where people can be welcomed, noticed, and included. We pray that it may be a place where other groups can gather as well. And we pray that it may be a place where love and care for the outsider is shown. And Lord, finally, we pray for our church. Thank you for the growth of our church in recent years. We pray that we may continue to grow in our appreciation of our love and in our love for others. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.